back to the Rock Shock Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitz. Today we are recapping the absolutely ridiculously horrible game against Oklahoma State. And of course, to do that, I have, as usual, Mike Plank, the editor-in-chief over at Rock Shock Talk. Mike, how are you doing today?
Oh, well, Andy, I just got done watching Lamar Jackson lead my fantasy team to another big win, hopefully, this week. So, you know, all in all, I'm doing pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I'm imagining that you're not actually playing me because I don't think Lamar. Yeah, good. I was hoping you were playing me because.
Yeah, no, I dropped out of the RCT league. You guys take it way too seriously.
Oh, wait, what? Are you sure that's not just because you've lost, what, 2 out of the 5 years we've done it?
Yeah, no, I've been a big loser in that league, so it hasn't been that much fun for me. But people probably don't want to hear you talk about that.
Oh, you know what? I don't blame you. I'm sure everybody at least marginally follows what we do. And, yeah, there's some real shenanigans that go on in that particular league, but makes it lots and lots of fun. So, all right, we won't talk any more about that because, you know, well, I don't know. The one thing that people may not want to talk about even less than or even more than someone else's fantasy football team is that horrible performance that we saw against Oklahoma State. Les Miles returned to Stillwater for the first time. Actually, it's the first time that Oklahoma State has ever faced a former coach in Stillwater. But it did not go as well as we were hoping for. You know, Kansas did not actually get any points until really late in the game, which was honestly kind of ridiculous. Basically, everything that could have happened to them, especially early in the game. So how much of this game did you actually get to watch, Mike?
Well, I had it on. I wasn't able to pay as much attention to it as I wanted to, unfortunately. My baby girl turned 2, and we were having her birthday party on Saturday afternoon. So, you know, that took up a lot of my attention. But we did have it on and was watching it with some of the grandparents and stuff before everybody showed up. But mostly just disappointing. Is the word I'm going to use for this week. You know, I really thought coming off a bye week that the offense would look a lot better than it did a week ago, and it just really didn't. And I don't know what the difference is. I don't know. It seemed like every drive was run, incomplete pass, run, punt, and it was just a boring, repetitive game. And I don't know if it's the play calling has changed. I mean, obviously, it's changed from the first couple weeks with Brent Dearman now, but it just seems like they're not throwing the ball down the field, or if they are, that the offensive line's not holding up long enough for them to throw the ball down. Like, I can't tell which it is, you know, but they're obviously not getting the ball down the field, which is affecting the run game, and they can't get Puka going, and it's just kind of snowballed into the stagnant offense that we've seen the last 2 games here against K-State and Oklahoma State, so... I don't know what it is. Those guys are a lot smarter than me, and I'm sure Brent Dearman has a plan, but hopefully he can figure that out because it feels like same old Kansas again, and that's disappointing.
Yeah, I think it's a few different things. I think it's a few things that we've already talked about a few times in that, you know, there's definitely a fairly large talent difference just in terms of, you know, the actual athletes that they have. And a lot of that is, you know, Les Miles is still trying to overcome, and Brent Dingerman to a degree, and DJ Elliott, like, they're trying to overcome the difference in talent level that we all knew was there, that we were thinking, unfortunately, that Brent Dingerman had overcome just with some of the innovative schemes that he has and things like that. Unfortunately, that's definitely not the case. You know, what we saw was a very good timing issue in terms of Texas. It was so depleted on their defense. Even like, I think that contributed a whole lot more to Kansas being able to score as many points as they did, even more so than I thought it was going to. And then similarly against Texas Tech has one of probably the worst defenses in the league. And so Kansas was able to show, you know, how well those things could work when they were facing a team like that. Oklahoma State, their defense is a lot better than I think I gave them credit for. You know, they definitely have much more talented athletes, I think, than I expected, at least in relation to teams like Texas Tech and teams like Texas in terms of where they were playing at the time. You know, so while I'm not or I'm a little surprised that it went as poorly as it did, because, you know, Kansas didn't score until their final two drives of the day. I guess I really shouldn't be that surprised, just because of, you know, what we're actually looking at with this particular team. There's definitely some work to be doing on recruiting. There's definitely a lot that this team could be doing. And unfortunately, it's going to take some time for them to get there. I was hoping that wasn't going to be the case. But that's really what we're looking at this point. So,
yeah, I think you make a good point there. I think you make a good point there that, you know, maybe it kind of goes back to what we saw against Boston College and then later on against Texas, that, you know, maybe we were set our sights higher than we probably should have for this year. If you could go back to August 1st or even September 1st and say, you know what, Kansas is going to win three games this year, and they're going to have, six or seven one-score games, and they're, you know, we would have taken that right away, because we haven't been competitive in half of our games since Mark Mangino left town. So while in some ways they may be a little ahead of schedule, I think it's important for us to remember there that it is still the same players and roster from last year, minus the quarterback, basically, I guess. And these guys are having to start over, and they're having to start from the bottom of the barrel, and there's only so much that Les Miles can do in 2 weeks of doing a recruiting class. And now that he's had a full year, and can start getting some more of his players in and start getting this roster turned over a little bit, you know, hopefully years two and three will obviously be way better than year one. But, we would have taken this, 3 months ago, but now that we're getting beat like we kind of thought we would, we're a little disappointed just because we have seen flashes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to is, you know, expectations got raised when we saw what could happen with Brent Dierman's offense against Boston College. Expectations got raised when we saw what happened against Texas, and I think that was less about, you know, Kansas really getting it turned on and super turning a corner, and more of catching a team that was severely depleted thanks to injuries, and not really having a bunch of tape to work off of. You know, Kansas, there is only so much that this team can do when they are as depleted talent-wise as they have been. And so, you know, again, it sucks. It's not something that you really want to see happening, but there's also only so much that you can actually do, and the fact is we have still seen flashes, unfortunately. Or our schedule was extremely backloaded this year, you know? And so I think that's the biggest takeaway that I think you can get from this, is that our schedule was extremely backloaded. We had some hiccups at the beginning. You know, this could have, and to be honest, in a lot of ways, should have been at least a 4 or 5 win team, because we should have gotten games against West Virginia. We should have gotten, the game against Coastal Carolina. Like, if we had gotten all the games that we should have gotten, this team would be fighting for a bowl bid right now. Or maybe even potentially have gotten one already, you know, just depending on if a few things have already happened. But that was still way ahead of schedule. There's no realistic expectation that they would have actually gotten there. And so you can't really be upset with where we're at right now. You can think about what could have been if we had turned it over to Brent Dierman earlier, or if we had been able to keep Chip Lindsey. But that's, I think, still asking a little bit too much. Those were kind of, pie in the sky hopes as opposed to kind of expectations at this point. So this is what we signed up for. We knew it was going to take a while. So turning to the actual game, was there anything that jumped out to you from this game? Either, things that were kind of unexpected, or, things that maybe we can take a little bit of hope from? I'll kind of let you give your overall impressions first before I jump in with some of the oddities that I'm looking at.
I mean, there were several odd things. Carter Stanley getting pulled. Was that in the third quarter when he got pulled, or the second quarter? I don't remember now. But,
I believe it was in the third quarter.
Yeah. Manny Miles came in for a few series and ran the offense. And then after the game, Les Miles said that Carter's still our starter. And I told him that on the sideline, that he's still our guy. We just wanted to try something different and try and get a spark going. And so that seems kind of odd to me. A statistical oddity, we had three quarterbacks each throw an interception, so that was kind of weird. Thomas McVitie came in for a trick play and threw an interception. So McVitie, Stanley, and Miles all threw an interception, which obviously doesn't, you know, help any when you're minus three in turnovers. I think they did a decent job on at least defensively. They forced, what, three or four field goal attempts, and Oklahoma State even missed a couple of those. So I was actually pretty impressed with the defense. They gave Kansas a chance to win the game, but the offense just didn't get going. I mean, there's not really a lot to say about this game. I don't know what you had in mind.
Well, so there was the fact, actually, that was the one thing I was going to bring up, was that at least for the first half, the defense actually seemed to be playing pretty well. The offense put them up in really bad situations. They, like you said, you know, had forced them to go to a field goal, you know, forced a punt on the second drive, you know, and actually, I mean, three of the first four drives were, so two of the first four drives were a missed field goal and a punt, and those were really set up by good defensive plays. The defense gave up big chunks, especially to Chuba Hubbard, but that was kind of to be expected. You know, run defense has been kind of an issue for this team all year long. It was not ultimately going to turn around really quickly when you're facing probably the best running back in the entire nation. And so, it sucks, but that was kind of to be expected. What really killed us was, again, the offense just got off to a really, really slow start. The defense had a lot of issues trying to deal with the fact that the offense couldn't get anything going. And so they were back out there really, really quickly. You know, we had three plays in intercept. Oh, here. So the first drives for Kansas, there was three plays for 5 yards, six plays for 17 yards, four plays for 8 yards, and a missed field goal at that point. We had three plays for 14 yards that turned into an interception, three plays for 3 yards with a punt, four plays for 16 yards and a punt. Six plays and an interception. That was Carter Stanley's interception. You know, we had three different quarterbacks that each threw an interception. You know, so we had three interceptions, each were thrown by a different quarterback. There was the one play that Thomas McVitie came in for, the one pass that he threw, was a trick play where you had Velton Gardner and Puka Williams both lining up in the backfield. It looked like a wildcat. You had Thomas McVitie line up as a wide receiver in that particular play. They ended up, you know, Velton Gardner handed off to Puka Williams, pitched it to Thomas McVitie, who threw just a horrible pass that went right to an Oklahoma State guy. I don't know if that says more about Kansas was trying to do too much in this game, and at that point they were kind of desperate because the offense wasn't doing anything, or if, you know, maybe that's a peek into why Thomas McVitie wasn't the starting quarterback coming into this year like we all thought he could have been. You know, does that tell you more about McVitie, or does that tell you more about the offense maybe trying to get a little too cute?
Yeah, I mean, Les Miles is known for taking risks like that, but it was probably a little too much. Oh, what was the score at that point when McVitie came in? Were they down by a lot already, or was it still within?
No, I mean, they were down 14-0. The defense had actually, that was where the defense had just given up another touchdown to go down 14-0. Kansas had already missed the field goal at that point, so it almost
quarter. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, so that was
early in the second quarter. Yeah.
Right. He had missed a 42-yard field goal. And Kansas was at their 49. It was a 1st and 10 at their own 49 where he threw that. You know, trying to get something going, and it just wasn't working.
It's easy enough for us to kind of sit here, you know, the day after and regarding the game situation, just be like, yeah, he's trying to, you know, he realizes that yet again the offense is off to a slow start. We're already two scores down. Let's try and get something going. And so they sent McVitie in there, and then it wasn't too much longer that they sent Manny Miles in at quarterback. So yeah, they were at that point, I think they were definitely starting to hit the panic button a little bit and trying to get something trying to get anything going. So, yeah, I think that I agree. That's probably what that was.
Well, and just to be clear, you know, that wasn't – Manny Miles didn't come in for quite a while after that, because that was the first play of the second quarter. Manny Miles didn't make his debut on the field until actually the beginning of the second half. So Carter Stanley came back in and actually threw his own pick at that point. But it's also one of those things, again, like I can completely understand, you know, you've been preaching, and we saw that in the Miles to Go, they've been preaching the fact that this team can't afford to get started slow. And Brent Dearman, you know, they started slow again. Brent Dearman was not very happy about it. And so he was definitely trying to do whatever he could in order to give them that opportunity, to kind of get that spark. Again, I can't fault them for trying to run a little trickery to try to get it going. It just didn't work out. It didn't work out. It was a little weird of a way that they did it. Like, I would have expected some sort of trickery, maybe like a normal flea flicker, you know, where you have Carter Stanley get it, hands it off to Puka, who then pitches it back to him, and then you get it to one of your guys. It did not seem like a very good setup, but, you know, you can't really blame them at that point. It's just one of those things that kind of happens. With this particular team, I don't know that I can really ever get too upset when they're trying something just with all the problems that they've had. So,
sure.
All right. I did want to get kind of some final thoughts again. There wasn't a whole lot, I think, for us to really still talk about. But before we do that and get into a couple other topics, I need to throw it to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast. And we're back. All right. So before we move on, any other final thoughts about this football game in terms of like what we can look at moving forward, anything like that at all?
Yeah, no, I mean, like kind of like what we said at the very beginning, there's not a ton to talk about. It was, you know, just yet another disappointing performance, another slow start. I mean, I think we pretty much covered it. Slow starts, turnovers. Throw the ball down the field.
Well, yeah, there's that. The other thought that I kind of want to ask about is just in terms of, you know, in terms of special teams. Again, this was another game where, yeah, special teams was not going to, like, by themselves, were not going to turn this game just because the offense couldn't really get much going. But, you know, we had a missed field goal. We had an absolutely horrible punt. You know, I'm trying to remember where that punt was. I believe it was it was the punt that they had late in the second quarter. You know, Kyle Thompson, he had a punt for 13 yards. You know, KU was at their own 42. You go to punt it, you think they're going to get them pinned, give them an opportunity. And this is before Carter Stanley's interception. You know, he punts it for 13 yards. Oklahoma State goes down for a touchdown to get up by 3 scores. And then you have an interception that only turns into a field goal. Like, this was just it was a really bad, bad game for the special teams in general. So, unfortunately, I'm not sure what you can say. Like, you know, you have to think that a kicker is probably going to be one of the, like, late things that Kansas is looking at recruiting-wise. You know, I like what Liam Jones has done in the times that he's actually done it. But, unfortunately, there's just been way too many mistakes. There's just been way too many times where special teams directly has led to problems for this team. So, like, I don't want to be the guy that says, you know, call for a college kid's job. But it's just one of those things. There's just been way too many times that very makeable field goals just have not been made. Am I off base there? Am I trying to push a little too hard for this, or is this something that you're seeing as well, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, special teams has definitely been an issue all year. It was at its worst in Austin in the Texas game. When, I mean, we literally left 9 points on the field and could have beat Texas by a touchdown pretty easily that night. I'm not going to get on the punter too much just because he's out there so much. He's bound to kick one off the side of his foot every now and then. I mean, it just happens. I think he probably is one of the better – I haven't verified this, but I'm actually pretty sure he's one of the better punters in the conference in terms of, you know, punting averages and stuff like that. So I'm not going to get on him too much. But, yeah, the place kicking has definitely been an issue, especially this year. I don't know what you the
yeah,
block
the other thing
you can probably correct, but I don't know about just the the ones where he just goes out and just plain misses it. You know, blocking schemes you can correct, and we've had a couple of kicks blocked. I don't think there were any on Saturday against Oklahoma State, but the misses, I don't know how you correct that. You have to go find somebody who can do it better, I guess.
And that's literally what it was. Like, the only real big miscue in the kicking game was that miss. He just missed it. I mean, and a 42 yards, like, you know, I understand those are not gimmies for college teams like they are for NFL teams. But they still should be ones that you make quite often. And, you know, Kansas has had a problem with anything over, like, 35 yards the entire year. So I don't know what you can do about it at this point other than to, you know, recruit a much better kicker. But, you know, unfortunately, I just don't know how likely it is that you're going to recruit a much better kicker at Kansas, especially since, you know, kicking probably is not the biggest problem in terms of the actual kicking like that. It's more the blocking has been the biggest problem for them. So, I'm not sure what it is they can do, you know, or if it's something that they're really focusing on. I just think that's something that they probably should be focusing on if you think that, you know, this team is not super far away talent-wise. But, you know, that's another discussion that we can have for another day. So, all right, so I do have one more football topic that I want to talk about, but it's not this football team. It's actually football, or otherwise known as soccer. You know, I think we all could use a little bit of good news. So let's talk about the soccer game that happened. Did you get a chance to watch that game with Kansas beating Iowa in the first round of the NCAA tournament 1-0 on a goal with about 20 minutes to go?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. I was hoping maybe you had, you know, it was on ESPN3, so it was something that everybody could have actually watched if they were able to track it down.
I don't know if you know this about me or not, Andy. I don't watch soccer.
You don't watch soccer at all?
No, man.
I mean, I understand not wanting to watch, like, the EPL and that kind of stuff. Like, it's, you know, stuff that you don't. I just was curious if you had found any kind of time to watch it. But, which is fine. I understand that you don't really
I saw people talking about it on Twitter, and I'm happy for the team and all that stuff. And I think they play, South Carolina next in the second round of the NCAA tournament. So I know what's going on. But, I'm not going to sit down and watch a soccer game.
Okay, well, not a problem. In that case, this will just kind of be an update. It was definitely one of those games where you could tell, you know, that, you know, Kansas does not have a lot of history in terms of hosting. You know, I think this was similar to when the volleyball team hosted, had the opportunity. Yeah, no, they hosted the first round of the NCAA volleyball tournament the first time, and they definitely had some issues with that. There were some questions about just how, you know, how much nerves there was and things like that. And Kansas definitely had that this year as well. You know, Iowa was able to push the pace a lot on them. Iowa outshot them over the course of much of the game, but Kansas got some pressure late in the game, was able to go ahead and score the only goal that got scored, and then was able to hold on with a couple, a couple late instances there. So, but that will be our soccer update for the day. Again, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. I was mistaken in the last time that we talked about soccer. I thought that Kansas was going to get to host the first two rounds. But it's weird. They only had one round this first weekend. Next week, there are actually two rounds. South Carolina will be hosting both of those. So Kansas will play Xavier in the first round. And then South Carolina will play another team. I don't remember who South Carolina plays, but assuming both of those teams win, then Kansas will play at South Carolina against South Carolina for the opportunity to go to the Elite Eight. So, all right. Well, cool. We will go ahead and leave our soccer talk there. Well, what about the basketball game? Did you have any thoughts about the basketball game that you wanted to share with us, Mike?
Well, I think the only talking point on the basketball game is probably what happened in the last 8 seconds, right? And I don't have a problem with the kid doing it, I guess, but it does seem kind of dumb that you would flexed and talk trash to the crowd or to whoever he was talking to. I don't know that he needed a tech for it necessarily, but I just think you need to be a little bit more aware of your surroundings. Like, can you imagine if like, how pissed off were K-State fans when Brandon Green played to the whistle? I mean, I know it's a little bit different, you know, this is a 60-point game or whatever, but I don't have a problem with him dunking it. He you know, maybe he's always wanted to dunk an Allen Fieldhouse or something like that. I don't know what the situation was, but
it's silly.
Everybody's making a big deal out of it, and I think it's dumb.
Well, so I don't think that people were making a big deal out of the dunk, because everyone that I – well, there were a few people making a big deal about the dunk, but most of the people that I talked to and who I agree with in this particular case, like, the dunk wasn't the issue. Like, if he's going to go ahead and dunk it, and Kansas especially fans can't talk about guys dunking it, you know, we have a long history of Brandon Green, Elijah Johnson, Tyshawn Taylor, like, guys that are dunking emphatically in games that either – you know, you're up big, or, you know, questionable cases where you should be dunking. So I had absolutely no problem with the guy dunking it. My issue was he dunked it, immediately turned around to Tristan Anarunah, who he stole the ball from, and started chirping at him. He was clearly looking at him. He was clearly, like, it was clearly him talking to Anarunah about something. And yes, Anarunah was very casual with the ball at the end, dribbling it out. And it was a good teachable moment for Bill Self, where, you know, Anarunah apparently has had some issues with being a little casual with the ball. So, like, it ended up turning into a good teaching moment for Self, but it was a really bad look for that particular kid to turn around. You know, you're down by 50, you steal the ball when he's just trying to dribble it out at the end, because the shot clock was off. He easily could have dribbled it out. So you go and, like, pick his pocket when he's not paying attention, because they just think the game's over at that point. And then you chirp at him afterwards. I hate to say the word classless, just because, you know, people throw that around way too often, but it was a really bad look for him. It didn't do him any favors. It was honestly just completely ridiculous. So, but again, like, if that's what he wants to do, I don't really have necessarily a problem with him, the steal and the dunk, but expect to get called out for it if you decide to chirp about it afterwards.
Right.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't want to get, I don't know if there's too much to take from that particular basketball game either. It was definitely a meat necklace game. I've heard that term. As our friends over at Rock Chalk Blog like to say, when, you know, I listen to their podcast quite a bit, and that's what they describe as a meat necklace game, a team that is so much better in Kansas that just decides to go out and just beat the crap out of the team that they're playing. It happens every once in a while, especially after, you know, games that, I've also heard people call them get right games, where, you know, you're just trying to get back in the right frame of mind. Kansas definitely had one in this particular case. And so, good for them. There's not a lot of analysis we can really take out of that. And of course, I don't have Fetch here to kind of break down anything that we might want to try to, since he's the guy that usually talks basketball with us. But, I don't think that there's too much to take in terms of preview for the next game that we have either. But I will have another episode with Fetch probably in the middle of the week to kind of talk about that. So those of you guys that are wanting some sort of basketball update. So, Mike, before you get out of here, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we have the Maui Invitational coming up, right? You probably take a look at that.
Yes, Maui starts on the 25th. So that would actually be next Monday.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll have another episode before that. We'll probably have an episode to preview Maui. Although we're playing Chaminade, so I might actually do it after, or like right after the Chaminade game, or, you know, right before the Chaminade game, but not really talk too much about it. So I'm not sure exactly what the timing is going to be for those of you guys that are trying to plan in terms of, when you're getting it. But we will be talking, we'll have multiple episodes. We're going to have two more episodes this week. I'm still trying to get a soccer guest so that we can talk a little bit of soccer. Hopefully that will be our midweek episode this week, but that will do it for today. Mike, any other final thoughts you want to leave us with about any of the KU sports, anything that's coming up?
Actually, I'm glad you asked, Andy. Shout out to the KU volleyball team who knocked off K-State at home on Saturday, 3-1. They played earlier this year in Manhattan, and I think the Jayhawks blew a 2-0 lead and lost that one 3-2, but they got revenge this weekend, so it's been a rough year for them. They were receiving votes in the preseason poll and haven't quite lived up to those expectations, but they got a big win over K-State, and that's always good. And speaking of wins over K-State, to put it back in a football perspective, this weekend wasn't all bad, because even though our beloved Jayhawks lost in this week in Schadenfreude, Missouri lost, K-State lost, and Nebraska lost. So It wasn't a horrible football weekend after all.
Very, very true. That K-State loss was absolutely crazy.
Not because
it was like a, you know, come from behind loss at the buzzer or anything, or at the whistle or anything like that. It was West Virginia came out and honestly led that game almost wire to wire. Like they were leading for a good portion of the game. I think K-State was up early, but it was like midway through the second quarter that West Virginia took the lead, and then they were trading the lead back and forth, if I remember right. But I remember I looked up at the end of the day, and you know they were down and trying to drive to finish the big comeback, and it fell short. If I remember right, he actually threw an interception, and West Virginia picked that off to win. I might be thinking about one of the other games, but I think it was that one. Okay,
yep.
It was
that was it.
Yeah, you know, it was another crazy game or another crazy week in the Big 12. TCU was able to hold on for a surprisingly offensive game against Texas Tech. You know, they scored late to take the lead in that one and hold on for the win at Texas Tech. You know, Iowa State and Texas played, and honestly, I don't remember who actually won that one because it was so back and forth, and I think that Texas came back to win that game. Is that right?
Iowa State got him with a last-second field goal.
Oh, that's right. So Texas came back to take the lead in that one, and then
right.
Iowa State got a little turned the tables on them a little bit because Texas has done that a few times this year, winning on a late-second field goal or on a last-second field
right.
goal. And, yes, I am seeing that now, that, yes, Iowa State pulled off the win. Hopefully there's a little bit of a hangover now when Kansas goes to them this week. Partly because
yeah.
I don't, you know, I was unfortunately not smart enough to avoid making a bet about how good Iowa State's defense is. And so I'm hoping that Kansas can get off to a little bit quicker start. If we're down by four touchdowns, I really don't want to have to make an impromptu appearance on the Wide Right 90 Light podcast that they'll do at halftime.
Uh-oh.
If that happens. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I had pretty much guaranteed that Kansas would not be down by four touchdowns going into half or more. And after this game last week, I'm really not feeling too confident about that bet right now. So I'm hoping that Kansas defense can either put the clamps down on Iowa State's offense or that Kansas' offense can find some way to get going at least a little bit, at least for the first half. So, all right. So we'll go ahead and leave it there. Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Any other final thoughts before we get out here for the night?
No, I think we're all set. We'll do it again next week.
All right, thought so. I just wanted to make sure. So we will go ahead and leave it there.
Yep.
Once again, thank you so much for joining me, Mike. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have not already, please go out wherever you get your podcast. You know, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, a bunch of different apps there. You can subscribe to us there, get the podcast episodes as soon as they come out. If you could also give us a rating and a review, 5 stars, nice comments would be great. But if for whatever reason you're not able to, please just let us know what it is we could be doing better. We really do bring this podcast to you guys. You guys can get the information and kind of get it, you know, in an entertaining way or however it is we can get that information to you. But if you ever have any comments, questions, suggestions, anyone you want us to interview, anything like that, please do contact us. You can contact me by email at rockstarpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter as well, at rockstarpod. And of course, Mike and I would love to interact with you guys on there whenever we get the opportunity. So we will go ahead and leave it there. Once again, Mike, thanks for joining me. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you guys next time on the Rockstar Podcast.